Passion, drive, and patience. That's the formula for winning championships and is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. They have superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and much, much more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, they've got it all. eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber and not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Let's keep your ride or die alive today at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Let's hash it out Texas 2022 playoff race.
When I got to you under caution, I definitely meant to send a message. Yeah. But when you went spinning through the infield, I was like, oh.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Actions Detrimental with our very special guest, William Byron, and my co-host, Mr. Jared D. Allen. Jared, I saw you doing pictures and autographs.
I had two yesterday. The first one was kind of a trap, though, because you had that Q&A, and of course, they ask about the podcast, right? And then you point me out, and then everyone goes wild. And then I was walking to the side stage, and someone asked, you know, can you sign this? I was like, you really want me to destroy your hat for you? And they're like, yeah. So I said, all right, well, after when Denny comes over here to sign. And then I forgot you had another appearance, so you didn't come over to sign. And as I was walking away, I couldn't just blow.
Well, someone came rushing to my cart after that Q&A and says, hey, should I go embarrass Jared and ask to take a picture with him? I said, absolutely.
That'll work. Sure. That'll do it.
Popular.
Yeah.
And popular.
Apparently. What about a week off? What'd y'all do?
Yeah, I went to Nantucket, like up there in Rhode Island, so it was fun. It was kind of chilly, like 60s, 70s, but it was nice to get away and be on the water a little bit. How about you?
I went on a van life, backpacking, road trip through Utah, did some climbing, some mountain biking, lived out of the back of a car.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It looked fun.
It was.
Was the nights cold?
They were like 55, 60. They weren't too bad.
Okay, so that's perfect sleeping weather.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were sleeping in a tent, it was perfect. You just needed one blanket and you were good to go.
So is this the first time you went climbing like and on a significant mountain?
Yeah. Like I've done some outdoor climbing here in North Carolina, but it just doesn't really compare to out west, or at least what we were doing out there. I don't think it really compares. That's a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I took the kiddos to the beach, had fun with them. I always, like, every day is vacation for those guys during the summer. between that and here at the house, if they're bored, then we got issues. So they had a really good time. I had a good time, taking a little break. Now we're on the home stretch, 20 races to go till the end of the season. So time to get going for sure. We have William Byron here because he is our winner of our bracket challenge. And thank you, William.
Yeah.
I told you it was very important for me for you to win this because you helped me win my golf guys pool. I backdoor covered these guys. I was in middle of the pack the whole time, and then I was the only one that had you winning the whole thing. So
cool.
And anyone who would listen, you know, early on, I've been very high on you all year, talking about, you know, he's in my final four. I just think this is going to be a breakout year for William. So cool to have you on. And just talking about kind of the race this weekend. And so what did with the bracket challenge? Obviously, you know, you leaned into it a little bit, and you started your own thing in the Coke E-Series, right?
Yeah.
With Logitech.
Yeah. With the iRacing Series, yeah. So we're doing a bracket there as well. So, I mean, it'd be cool. Those guys are competitive, and it'll be nice to see those little battles. But, yeah, it was – I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought – I listened to you guys, you know, not every show, but some. And I saw the bracket come out, and I was like, man, this is – the way we're running, I think this is a great opportunity to, to make some moves. So it was cool. Like, not every matchup I looked at, but certainly the Reddick one at Darlington, he lined up in front of me on the on the second last restart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he went in that big wreck and, like, literally just, like he got hooked right.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
So you knew that you were up against Reddick.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah, that one I did, because I thought that one was tough. I mean, he's good at Darlington, and I thought we'd be running right around each other. So, yeah, it was cool.
I got wiped. I got cleaned out in the Bowman Berry team, as we call it.
Cinderella Bowman Berry team.
Yeah,
dynamic duo.
Which William beat.
Yeah, they beat me right at the Coke 600 when I finished dead last. But it was just this weekend was cool at Nashville. Obviously, always a good vibe there. We had a sellout crowd again.
Before we move on from the bracket, I was just curious of, like, as a whole, since you won this, right, what would, if the prize was $3 million, NASCAR is eventually to take this over, were you thinking about that, like, man, this would have been a big payday if this was real?
Yeah, it would have been really cool if there was some money on the line, but I think, 1 year too soon maybe, but I feel like it's a really good idea, because I think there is that kind of summer lull with NASCAR that, you know, people either tune in or they're on the, you know, on the lake or doing whatever. So I feel like it's nice to have those battles. I know my high school buddies, like, they loved watching it. They're tuned in. So they're somewhat betters themselves. So they like to look at those matchups and kind of figure out which track's better for each guy.
Yeah. So you had people texting you about the bracket, like, hey, I need you to.
Yeah. A couple guys for sure. And my crew chief at the end, he was like, all right, let's make sure we lock this thing up here.
Well, I mean, you kind of took what should have been, I mean, not should have been, you know, Brad in the final at Sonoma, next thing you know, you guys are qualifying 24th and 26th or something like that. It was just like,
that's rough.
What are they doing back there? So,
and at the end of the race, we talked about it, that they were
two spots,
14th and 16th. I was like, I can't give up a spot.
I was in the infield care center, by the way, getting my vitals checked, and I'm watching the monitor. And I'm looking to see what's the state. All right, well, where's my cars, first of all? Yeah. Okay, I see Tyler Reddick going the wrong way on the racetrack, so I know he's not going to win.
Yeah.
And then I check out the William Byron and Brad Keselowski battle. I'm like, oh, they're only within a second of each other. Yeah. I'm like, Brad's trying to chase him down so hard. I know it. Appreciate you guys agreeing to come on. It started by the way, Dale Jr. owes you some Sundrop, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to have to make sure he pays up on that.
It was funny because Brad tweeted, and Brad started this,
he
right?
Started.
He said, I'll come on if I win.
Yep.
And then you were like, well, I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I was in the sim and I'm reading that as I'm between runs and I'm like, okay, this is a deal. So, yeah, it was good.
Speaking of the sim, like, you feel ready for Chicago?
Not at all. I haven't done any. I looked at, I got my iRacing guys to send me a video of just a lap, but I mean, I haven't done much. We ran that iRacing race and I was actually terrible. I mean, Ty Gibbs was actually really good that week, but we'll see. I don't know. I think it's gonna be tough.
Yeah. I think that's super helpful. We hired Keegan Leahy over at 2311 to be our driver.
Yeah.
Driver coach, and he was super helpful. I think he helped Reddick quite a bit at the at COTA.
Yeah.
He worked with me at Sonoma. Those guys, I mean, they're really, really good at what they do, and they know how, you know, to optimize the line and whatnot. Yeah. And so it's on any given week, will you, in the simulator, will you be in the sim every week, or is it just kind of depend on the racetrack where you feel like you need to get better?
Yeah, it depends on the racetrack. I think, honestly, I'm kind of labeled as the sim guy, but I don't do a lot during the season just because I'm racing so often. I more so race in the late models that I do on the off time. So I think, honestly, doing that and just doing the Chevy sim, you know, going to the Chevy sim, doing a little bit of racing here and there, depending on the racetrack.
Yeah, it's what got you into doing the late model stuff?
Honestly, just trying to get better. I think, honestly, I was like, that was a period in my career I didn't spend a lot of time in. And so I felt like I was like in and out real quick. And I felt like if I went back, I could learn some stuff about tire management, kind of figure out what I could get better at with that. So I think it's expensive. I wish it was more cost appropriate, but
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's
but
hard on those short track guys, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, the equipment's, I mean, it's just you're replacing, you know, brake rotors every race to be competitive. So it's tough, but I think I just thought it could make me a little bit better, and I think it has. I think it's gotten me some more track time. I was really green when I got in the Cup Series, so I feel like it's helped me get kind of break that barrier with how many little races I have.
So for the people who don't know, like, what is your timeline? And I don't even know really exactly of, like, what was your timeline of wanting to be a race car driver to making it to the Cup Series?
Yeah, I mean, I was always watching as a fan when I was really young. Like, my family they weren't in racing at all. So I was just turning on the TV, watching truck races, watching Xfinity. Like, I would come home, like, I was a homer, and so I was pretty introverted as a kid, and I would come home and watch the truck races at night and fall asleep, and then watch Xfinity and Cup. I collected the diecast, like, 124 scale cars, and I had a Sterling Marlin car at first, and just it went into, like, you know, collecting those and then watching on TV. And then, I mean, obviously eventually I got into a real car, but it was more so the iRacing that kind of, like, I heard a lot of, like, Cup drivers talking about iRacing, and that's really, for me as a fan, I'm like, what's the next step? Like, what, how can I get more involved? And
I feel like that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was like 12 years. I was 12 years old. So, and then I got in a car at 15. So yeah, I mean, it's a short, you know, path, but yeah.
When did your parents get invested into this journey, if they weren't following NASCAR?
I think they're more invested now than ever. Like, they're so into it now.
Like, at the start of your career. Like, how do you tell them, hey, I want to race, if they're not naturally?
Yeah. Well, it started, my dad and I would go to races. So we'd go to Martinsville. We'd go to 5 or 6 a year. So we'd go to Martinsville 1 in the spring because it just worked out. It was maybe a holiday. And then we'd go to Charlotte. We'd go to the All-Star and the 600. Then we go to Darlington. Darlington was actually before that. So we'd go to like 3 in a row because they were all close. And then I'd say 5 or 6, Bristol. But really just spend a lot of time in the car with him talking racing. And I mean, I think he just realized how dedicated I was to it. And when they would come home from work and see me iRacing every day, like, and then I started winning races and they see how my racecraft was, they're like, man, like, if he could ever just get in a car. And so I just kept pushing to go to the racetrack. And eventually, like, with US Legends being in Charlotte or Concord, I was able to go up there to their shop and watch some of the races, and eventually did their driving school, which sounds crazy, but I went in their, like, little driving school and did that.
So you've been doing real life race car driving for 10 years? Is that right?
10 years. Yep. Yeah.
That's amazing. Half of my Cup career.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He's got 3 wins.
I'm aware, Jared. Thank you. It's a crazy journey, and it's crazy about, like, how much, you know, commitment it takes. My parents were the same way. I mean, my mom was into it, but until they had, like, a powder puff race at the dirt track in Amelia Motor Raceway that I used to race at, until she got in a go-kart and ran the mom's race, like, at that point on, she was hooked to, you know,
really
being my supporter and and showing up and supporting all my racing. My dad always, you know, he would, you know, it was a combination of him and my mom on the financial side, you know, had very regular jobs and try to keep it going.
Yeah.
But you know, I was going to be content, you know, working at my dad's trailer shop. I liked that job. I was going to be content being just a local Southside Speedway local hero. Like, I wanted to be the guy that, when you get to the short track, like, everyone grabs their stopwatch to see, like, what times he's running, you know, and just everything happened so quickly. I went from late models to Cup in 18 months. So it was just really, really quick. And it's great to see that, like, you know, your talents and you win, you make it to the next level. Right. And and Josh Berry this week is another guy that, you know, is getting to Cup on his merits and his accomplishments. So, it's really cool to see. Josh is, a great dude. I didn't get to race against him that much. I don't know if you've raced against him much in the short track ranks.
I did. He was my teammate. Yeah. He kind of, so I was at JRM. So he kind of showed me the ropes in late models. So, I did spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah. He in the short track ranks, he was just really known as the guy, like the tire saving guy. He could really make his car last a long time. I tell you, in the Cup Series, the only concern I have for Josh is speed.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have to get a little faster. You know, I think his racecraft is great. I think, you know, he was able to win tracks like Dover pretty early in his career. It's just a matter of the speed. These Cup guys have speed, right?
Intense. Right. Intense. You can't, like last night, you can't, like that track was no fall off and you're just boom, boom, boom.
They asked me after the race, what do you need? I'm like, I need like 200s a lap. Like add all that up and I'm there, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, once we got single filed out, it was, you had to be significantly faster. So that then goes into qualifying and it goes into restarts, and that's the speed aspect that you really have to be good to be in Cup. But I think he's going to do a great job for those guys, and happy for Rodney and that whole four team to get a good talent like him.
So you're saying he needs to find more speed. Mm-hmm. And I'm, as the non NASCAR driver here or racer,
yep,
I'm guessing that's the information you give your crew chief.
Well,
somewhat. But it's like, yeah, it's comfort.
You're saying he needs to find more. He's great at tire management and his racecraft, right? Which is something you can get from late models. Like,
I think he can learn
finding speed.
I think he can learn speed because there's more information in Cup. There's more data. There's more sim time he's going to get. Like even in Xfinity, right? He never really is P1 in practice, or really even the top three. He just keeps getting faster as the weekend goes on.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's his style. And I that was been my style for, it was probably my first 10 years of my career the same way. But as you start getting more information out there of, all right, well, and I say, or to my team, I want to be faster. How can I be faster? Yeah. Then we just work on being quick for five laps. Right. And so I think that he'll have the tools available to him to work on that for sure.
Yeah. Was there a challenge for you coming into the Cup Series replacing such an iconic driver who won a lot, similar to what Josh is going to be doing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think my situation was different. It was kind of rebranded. Like I had Casey's team and it was rebranded into Jeff or into the 24, but I still had Jeff's like insight and kind of help off the track. So yeah, it was tough because you're like, man, I just kind of want to learn and be out of the limelight. Like I think what they're doing with Ty is really good because, you know, he's just being able to race and not really get
You're talking about not being in the 18 car.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Like being kind of in a different, like rebranded situation. But I think long-term it was awesome. I think I wouldn't do it different. The first year, I think I was so young and uncomfortable, like with everything going on. Like it was a lot. Like if I wasn't running well, I usually crashed because I'm like, 24 can't be running like this. Like, I can't be running 20th. So it's a lot of pressure, but you get over it.
What do you feel like clicked with you in the last year and a half?
Just comfort, I think. Honestly, just kind of getting my team and getting out of my shell a little bit with my race team. Like I was a little bit too nice with just how I went about things, like what I needed in the car and how I needed to have things and what worked for me. So I think just being comfortable and same thing on the racetrack, just being a little bit more confident, comfortable with what decisions I make.
It seems like Rudy too, like it was right around the same time that he came over as well, that you guys were, it just worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he believes what I say about the car. And I think we can just have that open dialogue of just, hey, this is what I really need. And I think he can go to work and look at the data and he's pretty young too. And he's new in his Cup career. So he can kind of use all that, and he's very driven. So I feel like we just work really well together. We have similar personalities.
Yeah, I think that's so important within a driver and crew chief combination is the trust, right?
Yeah.
They're not second guessing, well, the car would be fine if you drove it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just, hey, they know that when you're telling them information on how to make it faster, they're just going to do it. Yeah. I had that same relationship with Chris Gabehart. Like if he says, hey, I need you to run in reverse for two laps around the racetrack, I'm like, all right, well, surely there's a reason behind that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go do it. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm very open to, getting better, and still you know, at my age, I still want to continue to learn to get better, because I think the talent is continuing to get better and better, and it's harder and harder to compete and win. So when you got a crew chief that you know believes in you and they trust you, you're going to have great results for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Nashville, right?
Nashville.
We had a Carl Edwards sighting again. I think he's starting to get warmed up to the thought.
That's what I would think, but his quote he gave Bob didn't sound like he was interested. But
the
not
first sentence and the last sentence contradicted themselves.
Quite opposite.
I didn't see it, but all I know is my girlfriend, she's like, when she sees Carl around, she's like, man, he's a, what do they call it? A DILF.
Oh, hey.
No, but I always like Carl. He's a great race car driver. So I had to throw that in there.
Oh man.
Yeah. He says he'd love to come back, but then I don't really want to come back, but it would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
But the hits are really hard. So that's why I'm not going to be back.
Really?
But if I come back, I won't be driving. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. You can hire him. He's looking for a job.
If he comes back, he won't be driving.
You should hire him. You got good cars. He would fit right in.
I have talked to Carl, early on when we started this race team, about doing some one-off stuff. I'd be interested in that for sure. He does some sim work for us.
Really?
He's done some Chicago stuff for us at JGR. And I think he's – I mean, I talked to him at that NASCAR 75 celebration, and he's itching a little bit, I think.
Really?
I think he does miss it for sure. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I don't think this story ends anytime soon. I was looking though. I think is he 45 or 46?
He's
Travis. Travis is on it. He'll let us know.
Racing season is underway. New customers download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Denny. Bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Denny only on the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/auto-racing-terms.
So, you know, I just to wrap up the whole JRM thing too, you know, we definitely need to give props to Dale Jr. and JRM. 10 drivers that have gone through their stable to go to Cup. And he mentioned, you know, that he understands his role as an Xfinity owner as a stepping stone to Cup. Like, he knows, you know, listen, I have my front office guys and girls taken just about every year. And I mean, I've tried to hire an engineer away from a year ago. And I just, you know, he's like, you know, that's what my role is in this sport. I'm okay with, you know, being the development into Cup. You know, it's proud for me to see the people, you know, start here and they make it to a big race team. So, you know, it would be great to see him to get in Cup. I'd like to see JRM, you know, make their way to Cup. I know he's trying, sort of. I think he's going to have to pony up a little more than he's wanting to do it. But he'd be a great addition, and obviously he's great for the sport. And I only say he's great because he's my boss.
Yeah.
While we're on this microphone, so
I thought you were throwing that in there.
Yeah. So Nashville, you know. Was it an exciting race? I tell you, it was an exciting restart. I was right behind you guys. You know, we're three wide early on in that race. And I was watching. I was like, look at these guys. They're such gentlemen, leaving each other plenty of room. No one's, you know, everyone's just waiting on, well, the first guy to to make a mistake, yep. and then you're battling out too wide. But I had the same battle with Martin for 5 or 6 laps. We were side by side.
I was watching that. You guys were just driving away. I'm like, all right, this is great.
Were you single file?
Yeah, I was third. Just like, car feels great, guys.
Watching on TV, is like, those guys are running side by side for 2 laps.
Well,
and they're driving away from the cars behind them.
And we kept yo-yoing, and it's like, okay, well, how can I stop this yo-yo effect? Because clearly he's in the lane that's a little bit preferred, but I just, you know, you can manipulate the guy beside your car so much, you know, and make him have to lift if he needs to. And finally, I was like, I'm going to go down the straightaway a little bit different here and then complete the pass off of turn 2, which it worked. But it just seems like this car in general, you can really get stalled out that 2x2 for sure. But then when you get single file, it's like, boy, they better hit traffic. They better hit traffic or they, you know, something's for sure.
Yeah. That 3-wide battle was fun. I mean, I missed turn 1. I got in. I got tight.
In this 3-wide battle?
I was in the middle the whole time. Yeah, but I had the lead off pit road, which, you know, great pit stop. And then I just got into 1, kind of went straight. Truex wrapped the bottom, and then it was pretty much just a side draft game after that. But I don't know, when you're in the middle of 3, like, you're trying to get a little bit of air off him, then you're like, wait, he's going away. Now I got to get him. So it was fun, but, I mean, I didn't think I was – I don't know. I thought – I had 1 shot into 3 that I got a run on Ross. I got a good side draft, and I thought I'd get him, but didn't. So
yeah, it's just those two were the class of the field. When you looked at practice too, it was like I thought it was pretty obvious that those were the two best cars, and that's why I left there thinking this is about all we had. Like, we weren't, you know, a top 5 car in practice, but we made it better. But I just thought that they were just, I mean, milliseconds faster every single lap. So it was cool. You know, the track widened out quite a bit. I loved NBC. I was giving Steve Letarte about, man, you guys are really doing the sales job on, you know, hey, look how wild and crazy the Xfinity race. And I says, I get it, you know, but we're going to be racing at night. We have shifting. We have less fall off. There's a lot of factors that is a lot different. And so it's tough because all the Cup guys are so good. They're not going in there and cleaning out.
Yeah.
You know, the guys,
not those,
like,
mistakes.
There's just not.
You watch on Saturday. There's a lot of exciting racing on Saturday. Man, like, when the grip level's not there, just back it down.
It was unbelievable to see. After practice, I went in my bus, and I was going to go back to my hotel in Nashville, and I thought, well, I'll just watch the first 50 laps. And then, you know, 2 hours later, it's like, you know, I still got 50 to go, and it's like, wow, man, this is it was painful to watch on some of the restarts for sure. But it's just, you know, you got a mix of some experience with Justin Allgaier, who's been there for a long time, and you got a lot of young guys, Sammy Smith and Cole Custer's coming back. So it's just, there's a big mix of talent that's in that series, and it honestly makes it compelling.
Most
weeks. Truck race as well. I look forward to watching them. Like you said, it's just those races, you almost don't know what's going to happen. And the Cup race, like, I feel like it's a little more predictable for sure.
It is. I think Xfinity, they just, you can hit it right. Like, one guy can hit it right and figure something out, and all of a sudden he's, catching the leader. So it's just, you don't have that as much in Cup.
Yeah. So I thought Nashville was a good race. It certainly has some good restarts and whatnot. It is challenging. It was challenging 20 years ago when we raced there in Xfinity cars for passing. It's actually much wider. This Cup car lays, you know, rubber down, and the car doesn't want to go over that rubber, so we can continue to move around all the time, which creates that wide lane. I didn't really feel the resin as much. I don't know if they did it as much as they did in previous years, but it didn't seem as grippy, or it was already burned off before we got there. But it seems like we definitely have work to do. I know they're going to work on that splitter, that up down splitter, coming up at a test.
I'm doing that test. Are you doing that test or
no? I think C Bell's doing it for us, but you know, I, I'm more of a on Dale Jr.'s side where it's a tire thing. You know, a shifting thing. I think that you know, if there's some way we could figure out how to get rid of the shifting, we would have to run more top end RPM because we would be bogged down so bad if we had to run fifth gear all the way around the track. But yeah, I think that really plays a factor in the passing capability. I mean, you can pass, but you're going to pass lap cars. You're going to pass someone when they really lose the balance.
Yeah.
For the first like 20, 25 laps, right? We're all just, once you get single filed out, it's like, all right, this is where I'm going to be for a while until, you know, you just hope to keep up with the cars that are in front of you. They start to, their tires and their car degradate, and then you make moves on them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, with the old car, it was like more so momentum on exit was where you made passes. Like you had, like if you were just a few RPM better than the next guy, that's how you got
it. It lasted all the way down the straightaway.
Yeah,
right. I mean that run that you generated. I mean that's short track racing, and that's where I feel like I kind of honed skills that I had on short tracks. Is that I ran late model stocks. We didn't have any power, right? So it was all just how can you keep the center going as quick as you can to carry that speed all the way down the straightaway.
Yeah.
And that's what passing, that's how you passed. And so these things, with it, the way it is, it's like you're charging entries and then you're just, you know, you're moving your men's speed around the corner and then grabbing a gear. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's so different than what it used to be for sure.
Yeah. I think it's tires too. Cause it's, I mean, they get hot, but then you can get that pace back, you know, if you get them cooled off. So it's, they're not wearing out a lot.
Yeah, it is. A lot of it is definitely heat based. You know, the fall off, I think we had, I don't know, after a green flag stop, I think I was 30-50s and would end 31, low 31. So it was just over half a second, which, I mean, the whole field is so tight on speed that, I mean, you really need to be probably 2/10 faster than someone to really go up there, catch them, make a pass on them. And it's just hard to do that for sure.
Unless you're Ross Chastain.
Unless you're Ross. He did. He ran me down on the super. It was a really long run. I was aero blocking the shit out of Truex because I'm like, you know, if I let him go, I'm not going to win. Like it, you know, caution could come, anything.
Yeah.
Guys battle each other now for track position, especially at a place like that, more than ever, just because you know that every spot that you go back from first, your car is going to slow down just a few hundredths. And so, I tried to I held off Martin for the bulk of the run. And while trying to keep in front of him, slowed kind of both of us down. Ross comes, and he was strong in the long run anyway. He ran us down past Martin pretty quickly, then past me pretty quickly and easily as well. And then we had that last stop, and he just did a good job cycling through and keeping the lead, and that was pretty much it for us. What'd you have?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were okay. We were fifth. We were running around fifth for most of the night, finished sixth. But, I think Ross was – what I noticed early, I mean, I had track position. I was actually pretty good when the sun was out. I was like a third to fourth place car. And then Ross would always come on. Like, we'd get to maybe 20 laps to go in the stage, and he would start, you know, filling up my mirror. And it was just a matter of time. He could run up in one and two and carry a lot of speed. And I thought Reddick was really good too. Like, we came off pit road side by side, and he lost the wheel. But I think Ross just had they had speed all weekend. I was kind of surprised. I thought Truex was the best, but it looked like he built free off. So it looked like he was struggling on exit, more than Ross.
Yeah. I thought that Reddick was strong as well. Just from what I saw in the first stage, I was, fourth or fifth. And I know that he went and passed Ross, late in the first stage to win the stage. And so, the team's been hindered by pit road stuff for sure. We got to figure that out. It's just we're really kind of holding them back a little bit right now. So that's frustrating for sure. Certainly, the caution benefited us when it did come out.
Oh, because yeah, you were the leader. I was the lucky dog, which was
that's
weird.
Right.
I was the lucky dog, so I'm running. At that time, I would have been running second to Truex, but because Reddick and I were side by side for second, and he lost the wheel, and you were the leader, so I didn't get the lucky, or I got the lucky dog, but I got a free pit stop out of it, which was weird. And then I got to line up. I mean, it's never worked out. I've never had it work out that way.
It's weird. Sometimes it cycles that way where, yeah, like, the guys that have to wave around, you end up, as a lucky dog, it's better to, I guess, well, if you wave around, the other cars have pitted. So, yeah, it just worked out that way to where, yeah, you got a free pit stop, stress-free. You know you're going to come out fourth.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, all right. So when he told me, he's like, well, there's only three cars on the lead lap, I'm like, okay, that's good. Well, we're going to have everyone wave around, but they got, you know,
start in the back.
They're behind us on their own worst tires, so I like their chances there. But, yeah, that caution was untimely for some. It was good for us. It kept our track position up front. But definitely Reddick finishing 30th is not an indication of what they had. It would have been interesting to see if they had the speed. I mean, they were faster than us all weekend. Whether they had the speed to contend with the 19 and one, I think they did. But yeah, it was an uneventful race from a crash perspective. It really wasn't much going on except for the Blaney incident. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did. So I mean, that started up front. So I was pushing Brad, and like, you know, I had Ross behind me. He laid back quite a bit. So I kind of saw that. So I'm like, okay. So I had a huge run. And I'm pushing Brad at the start finish, and I think just when I moved out to pass, I'm pushing him, and it looked like he just, like, I don't know if it bounced off the chip real hard, and he said he had a hard time.
It sounded like it just didn't go in gear.
Yeah.
I mean, I had also said that, did you run into the back of him before?
I did, yeah.
He said the impact he felt was so much that he lost.
Yeah,
the,
but I watched, you know, the video.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I watched his in car. And, you know, NASCAR posted, you know, with these in-cars that they got now, they put it up on the site pretty quick, is that I watched him and he was accelerating. And usually you can see or hear you get run into, like the RPMs will go up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like he went and it didn't go in gear. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't see a huge bump, but I'm waiting on someone to plow into the back of me on a restart if I'm on the front row. So
I think it was that timing of, like, maybe his shift came up earlier because I was hitting him.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Could be for sure. Yeah, you're not really trying to get jumps on restarts anymore. It's like, you know, you just want to get linked up. Yeah. With whoever's behind you. But that caused some chaos, I guess, in the back of the field. And Blaney got the worst end of it. But
That looked like a big hit.
I was looking at the speed and I'm like, oh, well, he's slowing down a lot. But then it looked like he started to speed up.
He tried to save it once he hit the concrete.
I wonder if he tried to let off the brake so then he could steer.
Catch it.
Because it looked like he was sliding and he was getting slower, slower, slower. And then he hit concrete or asphalt and then he sped up again. Now, not like hitting the gas, but it looked like he just maybe got off the brake to try to let it correct because he knew he was going to hit the wall. Mm-hmm. And it just increased the speed. But he obviously hit a part of the track that did not have a safer barrier. And that stinks. Trust me, as a guy that
sucks.
Broke my back hitting a wall with no safer barrier, it stinks for sure.
Yeah.
It's wild to think about that years ago, that was just the normal.
Man, I hit the wall. So that California next gen crash that I had.
Oh, that's right.
Was no safer.
Yeah, and that was before a lot of changes to the car,
big.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was really the talking point for us when we were talking about next gen. Yeah, was like, Williams hit at the test, right? Yeah.
He's
telling me, he's telling us it hurt. So how can we fix this, right? So
believe me.
many, many slots in the chassis later, we're getting there for sure. But I know Blaney said he'd pay for it if he needed to, but hopefully we don't need that. Jerry from NASCAR, he goes and checks all these racetracks out before and make sure they're all safe. But sometimes something gets slipped through the cracks, you know, and I'm sure they'll have this thing fixed for next time. Sucks for Blaney, sucks for his team. for sure. But yeah, that's that was an unfortunate hit for sure.
Hey,
yeah.
We talked about pit road a little bit on this episode. How many free dinners have you bought your crew?
Lots. We got some bonuses going, but no, they've been awesome. I mean, they have been they've been on it. I mean, I would say middle last year we had Jeff come over. He was actually at JGR, and then he came over from there. And he was.
I'm not in part charge of that hiring.
Yeah, right. he was on the seven for a while, maybe for a year, and then came over to us. And but we just had a really good group. Oren on the rear has been really fast with the next gen, and every guy. I mean, Spencer, Patton, those guys are. Landon Fuel, he's good plug. So yeah, they're all good. They got a good like swagger about them.
I like
there.
That. He says he's a good plug.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Clean plug.
So Ross wins the race. This is really the first we've seen Ross in a while.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Ever since, as I said, I feel like
since Darlington, when Mr. H getting the old "you better stop wrecking my cars," first thing I thought was, "Oh, Mr. Hendrick doesn't turn the button off on the old information share at the old technical center on him." But they came back strong. It was one of a dominant weekend really for the one car. You know, winning the race, winning the pole, being fast in practice, and so I think this whole narrative of them backing him down. I think that just it was circumstances where his cars weren't fast really over the last month or so. I think he's still very aggressive and will race the way that Ross races, which is good, and it's successful for him. I sent him a note because he gave me he came into my victory lane at Kansas.
Yeah.
And I sent him a message. I said, hey, I would have came see you in your victory lane, but I'm trying to get the hell out of Nashville, and the airport route they shut off after an hour. So I'm like, congrats. But Bob Pockers puts me on the spot and he's like, so he congratulated you in victory lane. Are you gonna go congratulate him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Bob, I'm trying to get out of here.
Like traffic's bad.
Bob, they're
holding the tunnel in 15 minutes, Bob. They need you to wrap it up.
Yeah, exactly. So I did send him a nice text. He did good. And I mean, that team, they were fast this weekend. They had some ups and downs. Like, even on tracks that were similar to this, they didn't show this kind of speed. So they must have hit something, some sort of setup that was good for them. But we'll see where this leads.
Yeah.
I think this was one that they really wanted to, with Justin
trying to make sense.
Nashville.
Yeah.
Ross is good there too. I mean, concrete tracks. They were good at Dover. They were fast there, finished second.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Something there.
Was Martin Truex. So
yeah, so was Truex.
Yep. I thought, Truex was the best at Dover. We were kind of right behind him, but then Ross, I remember, was very good as well. Yeah, I mean, Nashville in general, I thought SMI, they did a good job. They got to fix a few lights on the scoreboard. I didn't know what lap it was.
Yeah. You're able to look at that thing?
Yeah, during caution.
Oh, yeah.
I look up and I was like, wait a minute, is it lap 187 or lap 107? I couldn't.
Yeah.
There was a few light bulbs out there. Yeah. But it was a sellout crowd. I mean, from the infield, I thought the infield was... The hype was really good there.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I was doing the driver intros with Kyle Larson, and we were riding in the truck. I'm like, wow. Could you imagine? Like, they're so lucky that they're in the shade when this race is starting. Like, had we started at 3:00, they would have been Bake City out there. So it's certainly easier for the fans watching at the racetrack to start at 6:00. I know it's a better TV window. It definitely puts you in a bind when showers come about. And when I was driving to the track, I noticed there was some showers, and I'm like, oh man, I was hoping it was not going to be one of those long nights of lightning and whatnot, but we got it through, and I thought it was a successful weekend in Nashville. Definitely would like to see them get it to that fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, totally agree. That place is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good show.
I think it's coming. Marcus and his team's working really hard to make that happen. I saw the renderings of it. Looked very cool.
Mm. Do you think they could do both? Like, Nashville Super Speedway is a pretty good race now.
Yeah, I mean, and they're getting the crowd, right? And so I think that there's certainly an opportunity with that market to be there. I mean, there's an argument to made, right, of never go to the same place twice. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. I think, you know, you've got, as long as you've got good facilities and it's a good crowd that shows up, then you should. So I would like to see them probably keep both of them on the schedule. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. What do you think we're going to see at Chicago?
It's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's going to be hard to pass. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any passing. I mean, there's some breaking zones. So I do
there
think,
are. Yeah. It's just what leads to them.
Yeah.
Would likely cause a gap.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I think it's going to be restarts and it's going to be strategy. I think it's going to be big time strategy. Yeah. But I could see it being like the Roval. So I don't know if that's
that's, you know, fair.
Yeah.
It's probably fair.
Bumpy off camber kind of corners, but yeah, I haven't ran enough to know what it's like, but I know turn four is like a fast right-hander that goes off camber. I think there's going to be a lot of toe links there. A lot of left rears.
I think I spent an hour and a half on the sim and didn't make it past turn four. Like, really? I just kept leaving pit road, crashing four. Leave pit road, crashing four, and did that for an hour and a half. Like, I was just like, what the hell? Like, I mean,
but don't bet Denny Hamlin on this.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to figure it out. I'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
But it's definitely more about the event, right?
Yeah.
It's certainly we all know that, and, yeah, and we've got to lean into that it's, you know, we're taking the, you know, NASCAR cars and the, yeah, racing to the town of Chicago. And you know, I came from a team owner council meeting where they, you know, said that, you know, a large percentage of the new fans or the fans that have bought tickets for Chicago are new first time fans. So that's, wow, that's what we did in LA, right?
Yeah.
We when we went there, I think it was like 60 or 70% were new fans. So hopefully this is a success, because I know they're putting a lot of effort into it. They're promoting it well. My friend Cara, who, you know, does the sports stuff in Chicago, she sends me pictures of all the, you know, NASCAR banners and stuff, advertisements that are going on there. So hopefully we have a good crowd, excited for that. And then, you know, it's certainly from a driver's perspective, it's gonna be hard for us not to be critical, right?
Yeah.
Say, oh, well, it's not this or not that. And
yeah,
it's just leaning into the event itself and understanding, you know, it's a, agreed, historic event for our series to be on a first street course for the first time.
Yeah.
You know,
I think being closer to cities is good.
Yeah.
You know, I think for just being younger, I think I get a lot more engagement from my friends when it's around, you know, closer markets. Like Nashville is a lot closer to the city than most places. So it's, we need more of that. We need that crossover to get new fans engaged.
Yep. My crew chief thought that the best strategy is if we're not in the top five, we need to be dead last, because when the wreck happens in turn four, or these turns that have one lane, he's like, they're all just going to pile in. And so you just want to be far enough back to not be in it. So I've got to get somehow to the top five. So you better have rocket boosters on this thing. So I'd say, I think it's, I just hope that we can stay green long enough, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to lose momentum with yellow flags.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't want yellow flags within the last 10 laps of the race, because it might not ever end. I mean, we could have an unprecedented 9 green white checkers to finish the Chicago race, because it just, again, it funnels down to 1.5 lanes in some portions of the track. So
the leader is going to be the most nervous when the caution comes out. He's going to be like, where do I break? Like, he's going to go in there and
that's a good point.
Just like the Roval. He's going to be, I mean, the Roval that first year was like, you know, old tires.
And you know what? Turn one, even in sim, I've missed that quite a few times, like not realizing that it's 90 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. It is going to challenge us drivers for sure.
It might be so challenging though that we might, you know, we might kind of get through more corners than we think. Sometimes we do that
we're not confident, right?
Yeah.
So we're easing into it. I think that there'll be significant practice crashes.
Yeah.
You know, certainly in Xfinity Series is going to be, I don't know how much track time they're going to get, so you better be ready. Everyone have all the Xfinity drivers have your helmet on, your be buckled down, ready to go when they drop the green, because who knows how much time you're
going to
get.
Yeah. Safe to say there's a lot of backups going to this race.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Danny, we've got some questions that we want to ask. Dear Danny, we need answers and we need them fast.
tried to ask Junior, but his answers were lame. And with DBC, it was more of the same. Now we're calling on you, cause you're our only hope. This ain't the racetrack, so maybe you won't choke. Dear Danny.
What do you got there for questions?
Yeah, I was pulling up some questions here. This is our Dear Denny and William section. The first one, because this is just an overwhelming...
A lot of responses.
Yeah. This question pops up on here a lot. Texas 2022.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I knew this would come
up. Hey, it's not too late to say I'm sorry.
That's right.
I want to have as if you've seen the Sunday conversation, this is the part of the a new segment called "Not Too Late to Say I'm Sorry." Let's hash it out. Texas 2022 playoff race. Basically, I did to you what I did to Chase.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I should be thanking you that you didn't just destroy me down the straightaway.
Well, I ran you down the racetrack. Yeah.
So these race cars, we were talking about how you can manipulate the person beside you. And you're good at that. I essentially put William to a decision off the corner because I was trying to get up and I knew the closer I got to his left side of his car, it was going to make him tighter. Mm. I didn't anticipate at the time my car taking off with his. And so usually when you do that, their car gets tight and then you can just kind of pull back down. Well,
yeah.
I went up there tight with him and caused him to door the fence. And I didn't tear up your car, by the way. I didn't tear up Chase's either. But I got him into the wall. And Willie B, the introverted child from his younger days, turned into Hulk and says, "I'm going to get this guy," and spins me out under caution. He's mad. I don't think I've ever seen you retaliate.
I told you on the phone. I think when I got to you under caution, I definitely meant to send a message.
Yeah.
But when you went spinning through the infield, I was like, oh, that's not good.
Did you think that NASCAR was going to penalize you in the moment?
You know what? I thought so, yeah. And then I thought maybe they didn't see it, or maybe it just was an awkward circumstance where I hit him, because I did hit you off center a little bit, and I mean, I hit you hard. I was, I think, a little bit more red mist than I probably anticipated. Like I said after and said to you, I meant to, deliver a message, but I didn't, when you went spinning, I'm like, oh no,
yeah,
that's not good.
I mean,
I took away his chance to win.
I thought we definitely did, but I mean, I'm the one that I crowded him. And again, it was trying to manipulate his car to have to lift. And it all worked out. We both made the next round and so it all worked good. And like you said too, like we didn't have any issues before that, and it was just one of those, product of this next gen car. And really, I don't think we realized at the time how common that is. I mean, we see it most mile and a halfs now. Somebody's getting up and it's getting squeezed. It caught me off guard for sure. I went from I think third to 20 something that day, and I didn't. Oh, I think I got about three wrecks after that, and so I was.
I was on fire.
You
probably don't remember. You lined up behind me the next restart. We were 20th. Because we both pitted.
We
both pitted, and they're like, yeah, 11's, chose behind you. I'm like, okay, all right, let's see how this goes. We're either gonna wreck big or.
No, I wasn't going to do that for sure, especially, playoff race. I understood that.
Yeah.
But I remember early in your career, who was it that was trying to get you to wreck somebody?
Chad. Well,
Chad, right? He was like, Kyle, if you don't do something.
Yeah. I ran Kyle Titan in turn one.
Was this
one,
at Watkins Glen?
Watkins Glen, yeah. He was faster, but it was like lap two or three. And I just kind of pinched, through the middle of the corner. So he'd have to kind of pinch his, and he just... I guess he hit me in the door and spun, and he got back to me and sent me through the grass through the bus stop. And Chad's like, if you don't do something, I'm, you know, we're going to have an issue after the race. So,
and then you destroyed the front of your car.
Yeah, I was an idiot. So he was, it wasn't his fault. It was just my fault for being an idiot. But
man,
live and learn.
Live and learn,
live
right?
And learn. But yeah.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate you coming on, because this is it's been enlightening for sure. And Jared, do you have any others you want to?
Well, following up on that, do you have any tips for Daniel on how to win an appeal for race manipulation?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Oh, Jared, off the top rope. Off the top rope.
I don't know, man.
That was in here. That was in.
Come on, hey.
We've never been in that.
We promised him we would not get him in trouble.
I know.
Let's move on from that.
Never been in that position, but I was definitely listening, and I was like, oh, I don't know how this is gonna go.
Yeah. Pickleball. Do you play pickleball?
I don't. Not yet.
You need to take it up. It's
to.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's quite a few of us do it now, and it's easier for my old joints. But
yeah.
It's fun. One of the questions I saw was like, who would win in pickleball? I'm like, well, I probably would, because he hasn't played. But Jared, he just took it up too, and he thinks he's better than I am.
I am. Not think.
He thinks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like a lot of fun. My girlfriend tries to get me to play, but golf is just more accessible. It's golf's for the boys. But.
You ever had any interesting scenarios with the girlfriend? And
No, I think Ryan and I, we knew each other way back before I started dating her. So it was a little awkward at first, because I didn't really ask him if I could date Aaron. So I felt bad about that.
Should
you
have to?
I don't know.
You
yeah,
have to?
I don't know if I should have. So, but he brought it up, and I was like, yeah, we're dating. But I mean, we get along really well. So it's cool. I mean,
Ryan's a pretty easygoing, low-key guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
Such is life, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it goes. And I mean, we've been dating for 4 years, so it's
y'all do like double dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, with Gianna and him. So yeah, we do.
That's cool.
Do you still trust, is William still your pick to the NASCAR driver to babysit your kids?
Oh, jeez. Why is that, by the way?
I just think you're a nice, responsible young man.
Responsible. Yeah.
Last question I have, William, is Denny has always said that as a racer, all he wants or has wanted was for his peers to respect him on the racetrack. What does it mean to you that guys that are 20 years older than you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really all it is for me. You know, I think when I started out, it was like, I could tell I had to earn the respect, because you just come in and guys don't really want to talk to you. You're like, how's this kid going to do? If you make a mistake, they're, critical. But I think now it's getting the respect of the older guys is definitely, that's always been important to me, because I feel like, I don't know, that's just one of my values, I think. And so it just, I feel like I have that now.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I knew. I was only going to keep you an hour. So
yeah.
Appreciate it. Hopefully we made it painless for you. And
comp meeting up next. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, can I listen in?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. They'll probably ask me how it went.
Speaker.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for William. Tune in, guys, next week after Chicago. I'm sure we're going to have some exciting things to talk about, and we'll see you.
Cool. Thank y'all.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.